Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back. Alan Ellis here, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. We're going to leave our lines open for those of you who may have a question about any subject, really, but we'd kind of like to keep you focused on the offshore species that we have, the tuna, the shark, the bottom dwellers, and that type of thing. And with us is Carrie Kennedy, Maryland DNR Fisheries Service Coastal Fisheries Program Manager. Good morning, Carrie. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm well.
Good.
How are you?
Good. This is the first time you've been with us, right?
I believe I was on once before talking about summer flounder.
Yeah, I think you were. But that is, now you handle both the inshore and offshore species, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So the inshore stuff is the flounders and the.
Yeah, flounders. Yeah. Anything that's in those Maryland coastal bays, back behind those barrier islands.
Right.
Anything offshore as well.
No, then you got the whole coast covered pretty much. That's good.
Pretty much.
That's good. That's a good deal. Where do you want to start? I mean, our most popular fish, inshore fish in Ocean City or on the coastal bays is, of course, the summer flounder, the fluke.
Yeah, and summer flounder fishing right now is really good.
Okay.
There's a couple of really good things that are happening out there right now.
Population's rebounding.
We were able to reduce the size, our minimum size for summer flounder this year to 16 inches.
Right.
And we were able to expand the creel limit to 4 per person per day.
Wow.
And then we opened the season, you know, starting March 28th, and it was open, it's open now till December 31st. So we were able to expand opportunities. At the same time, I hear a lot of people are catching some really big fish.
22, 23, 24. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I ate a piece of one that was, 29 inches, I believe. That came from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. But,
wow.
Yeah, my buddy Jim Schillinger down at Papa John's Farm walked in there one day, and he was having lunch. He said, come on in, I'm having flounder. And it was a great big plate of flounder. I said, what is this? He said, that's a part of a 29-inch flounder.
Wow.
That's a big flounder. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. So anyway, cool. So is the population, I mean, the conservative management strategy over the last 10 years, is that created this population boom that we're able to be able to reduce that size limit and increase the creel limit? Is that what's happening? Are we having a recovering fishery here?
Well, you know, I certainly hope so. It's been a few years since coastwide summer flounder have been considered rebuilt. But, you know, certainly several things happen. And in any one year, there's a good year or a bad year for summer flounder in
right.
terms of their spawn. And certainly a couple of years ago, we had a really, really good year for summer flounder spawning off the coast. So it turns out that this year and maybe even toward the end of last year, we were starting to see some of those fish recruited to the fishery.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, you know, also one of the reasons we were able to expand our fishery is that the last couple of years, people haven't caught as many fish as we've been allowed to catch. It just hasn't. We have a target every year, a number of fish that we aim to catch. And we, you know, base our regulations on that target. And the last couple of years, people haven't caught them. So we were able to expand again this year. Our target was again something like 75,000 fish. In the
wow.
past couple of years, people have only been catching about 30,000 in any one year.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to expand.
Is that because of it? Is that because of the conservative approach? People had stopped fishing for them, or is that because that they were just catching undersized fish?
Well, I think a couple things happened.
Or a combination of both.
Yeah, I think a few years ago, you know, 2007, we had this estimate of a harvest that was huge and way over what our target was. And we had to take a really big reduction. So we had to go up to like 19 inches.
Yeah.
We had a 19-inch fish. And there are some reasons why we believe pretty strongly that that harvest estimate was probably not very precise or
okay.
accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we've made some changes to how we are managing the summer flounder in Maryland. We're no longer having split sizes between the Chesapeake Bay
right.
and the coastal bays and the coast. And we think that that really has had an impact on how they're estimating the number of fish that are caught in Maryland.
I gotcha.
So some of it, I think, is artificial in how they're counting the number of fish that were caught. So we're actually probably, we were already probably catching a lot fewer fish. And
okay.
Now our estimates are more accurate.
Ah.
And then two, because we've had so many years of having to have 18-inch fish, 19-inch fish, 17-inch
right.
fish. Now, yeah, that conservation probably is coming through, and we have more available fish.
I mean, you look at, you know, look at with other species we've had here in Maryland, with the Canada goose, we had the five-year moratorium. The striped bass, we had the five-year moratorium. And, mm-hmm. you know, the fish recovers, or the you know, the resource recovers to a point where it's, you know, we can now continue, you know, a conservative approach to managing those species, and the flounder seems like it's been a major success story for you guys down there. So,
certainly, I would agree with you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the lifestyle of a flounder, where it starts, where it spawns, where it, you know, just a little bit to help our listeners understand how difficult it is to manage a species like that.
Sure. For most of the winter, the bigger summer flounder are offshore, and that's where they're spawning. They spawn offshore, you know, way out in the ocean, and it's really more dependent on what's happening out there than what's happening in any one state. So based on the whims of the weather and the currents, then there'll be a good year class for summer flounder or a bad year class for summer
flounder.
What about
the commercial harvest?
Commercial harvest pretty much stays the same.
Okay.
Summer flounder is a really good example of the complicated interjurisdictional management process.
Right.
That happens when you have a coast-wide managed species. So
kind of like striped bass.
It's even a little different than striped bass because there's a quota set for the entire coast.
Okay.
There's total, you know, one total some amount of landings.
Right.
Which includes both recreational and commercial for the entire coast.
Okay.
And then it's separated into commercial and recreational. Some percentage is commercial, some percentage is recreational. And then the states allocate the commercial quota, how they decide to, you know, allocate the commercial quota, how they're allowed to do that. And then they have to go through not only the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, which is an advisory body to mm-hmm. National Marine Fisheries Service. That's where the coastwide quota is set. But then when the states are deciding management in terms of recreational fisheries and which state gets how many number of fish for their target, that goes through Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, which you'll be familiar with because of striped bass.
Right. Okay, stop.
it's a vet soup, and there's, you know, three or four different agencies that are involved in the management of summer flounder. And it's really, and then once, you know, then once we have our quota, then, you know, we can manage it as we see fit. And that, in terms of recreational fishing, that's considered conservation equivalency, where each state is sort of, we all have to meet the same requirement, but how we get to that requirement is our own choice.
I gotcha.
That's called conservation equivalency.
And that is why, Carrie Kennedy, you are the Coastal Fisheries Program Manager, because you know how all that stuff works. And the rest of us poor schlubs out there drowning squid strips have no clue as to what as to what you guys go through.
It certainly took a couple of years to figure out how it all works.
Yeah.
Certainly times when I'm still
But you just broke it down. You just broke it down in 2 minutes into language that I could understand. So hopefully our listeners could as well. Moving right along. We're going to go from it. Well, what other opportunities do we have inshore for flounder fishing? I mean, what else do we have to catch recreationally inshore?
I mean, so many, you know, there's so many species out there. And the great thing about fishing in Ocean City is that both in terms of being a biologist that's sampling and being someone who is fishing on that Route 50 bridge right there by the inlet, there is, you could catch almost anything.
Yep.
You know, it's right by that inlet, and you don't know what you're going to see at any given point. You might catch black sea bass. You might catch croaker. You could catch red drum, you could catch scup.
Porgies?
Porgies.
Yeah, is that scup? Scup and porgies, same thing?
Same thing.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay. Tautog is another species that's pretty common.
Yeah, but, you know, my favorite off the Route 50 bridge is still sea trout. We still catching sea trout in Ocean City?
There are still some sea trout being caught in Ocean City, for sure. Not as many, maybe, as there were at one time, but there certainly still are sea trout being caught in Ocean City. You know, I heard last year that there was somebody fishing for summer flounder just a little bit north of that Route 50 bridge near one of our sampling sites where we sample in the water, and they caught a hammerhead shark.
Hammerhead.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's wild.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
So you could catch anything when you go fishing.
Yes, you can. And that's the challenge of fishing down there. All right. Kara, we're going to take a little short break here, and we'll get right back to you. So stay in line.
Okay.
Hang on. Folks, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Now, Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish worth up to $10,000, and worth $10,000 if you catch him in June, is swimming in the Chesapeake just waiting to take your bait. Now, Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500. So catch a rockfish with a bright green tag. Call the number on the tag. You might just have captured a $10,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab, certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. And Carrie's going to tell us a little bit more about some of those. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shopper, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit the website www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Fishbones has all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report in the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard, in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM. case us at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got buzz baits and Zara spooks, pumpkin seeds and flukes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, we're back here with Carrie Kennedy. Good morning, Carrie, again.
Morning.
Yes. Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit from flounder and the inshore stuff. Well, let's just talk about fishing on that Route 50 bridge. There is a walkway there that people can still fish that bridge, correct?
There is, absolutely.
Yeah, and you got to park on either end and walk up over. And it's open 24/7, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
24/7. The only accessory other than your rod and reel is probably a drop net of some kind on a rope if you want to bring something good size in up over the rail, right?
Yep.
Okay. Just thought I'd, you know, put that out there because a lot of people do that. But, you know, it's another opportunity for people to fish in Ocean City that may not have a spot. So that's the bridge is always an option. Just be careful up there.
Absolutely, and we do have two new free fishing areas that opened last year.
Okay.
Where you don't need your license, you do need a Maryland saltwater angler registration, which is free.
Right.
So you don't need a license.
Okay.
And those two areas are the Northside Park, which is, you know, way up north in Ocean City.
Right.
On the bay side. And then there's what's called the Bulkhead area.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit north of that Route 50 bridge. And I can't remember between the two streets. It's about two blocks long.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's well marked. There's lots of signs. There's an artificial reef just off that Bulkhead.
Oh, so you can lose lots of tackle.
Yeah, but there's the city of Ocean City had put down a couple years ago, and I hear that's a really good fishing spot.
Okay, good. That's good information, that's for sure. All right.
Yeah, pretty popular areas, too.
Indeed, indeed. And a lot of people fish Assateague when they go to Ocean City as well for surf fishing. A buddy of mine is a very, very enthusiastic surf fisherman for Assateague, for striped bass, and for the sharks down there, which brings us to some of the other species. Let's talk about sharks for a little bit.
Sure.
You know, everybody hears, anybody who watches any of the nature shows on television sees how the world shark population is in jeopardy. And, you know, we have some species off of our coast that probably fit that mold. And maybe you could give us a little update on a couple of the species and what you guys do as far as managing that coastal fisheries program.
Sure. This year we started a new program. Some of your callers, your listeners might be familiar with the bluefin tuna, billfish catch card program.
Mm-hmm.
Any recreationally caught tuna, billfish needs a tag that you can pick up from one of our tackle shops.
Okay.
That are reporting stations, and they also need to fill out a catch card and turn that back into their tackle shop.
Okay.
And then we pick that up. So this year we expanded to sharks, and, you know, that includes Atlantic sharpnose, bull sharks, thresher sharks, hammerhead sharks, makos, dogfish, any species of shark you're in.
Dogfish. That's interesting.
Dogfish.
Okay.
And one of the, well, we have two main reasons why.
Smooth dogfish or spiny dogfish?
Both.
I'm just messing with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, both smooth and spiny dogfish.
All right.
Why we did that is really for two main reasons. One is that, you know, you guys certainly have talked about MRIP and fishing estimates and the estimates of harvest. Well, right. For species like sharks, which are considered rare event species, those numbers are even more questionable. So we need a better way of knowing how many and what sharks are actually being caught in Maryland.
Yep.
And this is a way to do that. Anybody catching sharks needs to be telling us what they're actually catching so that we know and we have a better count. And those numbers will go directly into coastwide stock assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is we need some biological data. We need to know if they're males, if they're females, what size they are, just some basic biological data that is missing coastwide. So both of those things are going to help shark biologists that are doing stock assessments get a better handle of what species are out there and how healthy those populations are.
One of the most fun trips I can ever remember is an inshore shark fishing trip, and I sent you pictures with Captain Mark Sampson, who's well known in the area, and I know he works very, very closely with you guys. Very instrumental in the shark tournaments and that type of thing. And Mark and I have known each other for years. Took our family out there a couple of years ago. I think it was 2006, and had an inshore shark fishing day, half a day with Mark.
Yeah.
And none of the sharks we caught were legal.
Mm-hmm.
Size-wise to keep. But when you catch a 5 or a 6 foot shark on relatively light tackle, you've got a battle on your hands. And it
absolutely.
Is absolutely so much fun. We caught probably a dozen or more sharks between us, and we just had a great, great day. Watched Mark tag those sharks, watched the whole process with the tagging and the releasing and that type of thing, and somewhere we've got a video somewhere of one that almost got Mark, but he was getting ready to release a dusky and it flipped around, you know, curled back on itself, and it was a very very interesting. But they are toothy creatures. But you talk about a fun trip, and that inshore shark fishing is probably you know, with the tagging and everything that Mark does, is very good for research. If you know, he's doing that on every trip with you know, keeping notes of the catches and that type of thing, and all the captains are, that's certainly invaluable information.
Yeah, Mark is really great. He collects all of those data. And he also started working with us last year. He
mm-hmm.
came to us and said, listen, fishermen have a general sense that circle hooks are better for releasing fish than J hooks.
Right.
You know, there's certainly a wide body of evidence that shows, you know, fish are going to survive better
right.
if they're caught on circle hooks when they're released.
Right.
But, you know, people are also concerned, especially when they're fishing for sharks, that they're not going to be very effective at keeping and getting sharks to the boat if they're catching them on circle hooks.
Right.
So Mark really wanted to work with us to find a way to quantify and show that actually there's not really any difference
mm-hmm.
in how effective a circle hook is at catching and keeping and getting your shark to the boat versus a J-hook. So
right.
We worked with him to design a little bit of a study, and he collected data all last year. He had two sets of data he was collecting. He had rigs that were set up with J-hooks and rigs that were set up with circle hooks. And you know from having been out with Mark that he has created his own, what he calls a blocker rig, which prevents any hooks from being swallowed
right.
and from sharks being gut hooked so
right.
that when they go to release them, they're more likely to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked him, we said, sorry, but for this to be effective, and you're going to have to take off those blocker rigs on both the circle hooks and the J hooks.
Right.
So you don't have to do it for all your fishing, all the hooks that are going out that day,
right.
just on the rods that you have designated for this study.
Right.
So he collected data all throughout the year, and last year was not about trying to tell us yes or no, what, you know, do the data tell us
yeah.
if the circle hooks or the J hooks are better, but just is Mark catching enough sharks for us to be able to mathematically say yes or no.
Right.
And he is pretty darn close. I don't think we're going to have to change much this year. Last year's shark season, because of just temperatures and weather
right.
was a little bit abbreviated.
Right.
But this year, I think it's going to be a little bit better. They're already catching sharks offshore.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, the rest of everything seems so far behind and so cool, but they're already catching sharks. So
right.
I think we're going to have a good year for that study, and hopefully, you know, this will give us some information that's unlike any other information on the coast that should be able to start telling folks and showing folks that they really ought to be using circle hooks. And maybe if we can show it mathematically, the National Marine Fisheries Service might switch over and require circle hooks for sharks. That's the intent, at least.
Right. Well, people have to understand that, you know, fish don't fight. Fish fight the bend of the hook. They don't necessarily fight the barb. And those J hooks are extremely effective. But a circle hook is just as effective, as we've proved on rockfish here. and they are less likely to be swallowed, you know, by the fish, even without the blocker rig, because they tend to hook themselves quickly on that circle hook, as opposed to J hook, which can slide down their throat pretty quickly. So it's, yeah, I like that idea. I like that study a lot. That sounds very, very forward thinking when it comes to catch and release and catching sharks for sure. Are a lot of people killing sharks anymore? Are they?
Mostly no.
Yeah.
I think especially, and I think a lot of it is through the work that Mark has done.
Yeah.
You know, Mark is a really big proponent of shark conservation, and he has a shark fishing tournament out in Ocean City that's going to be coming up real soon.
Right.
And he, you know, a large part of that tournament, most of that tournament is catch and release.
Right.
And the only sharks that I have really seen are, you know, caught and brought in and not released, or through other bigger fishing tournaments.
Right.
And those were really just the biggest
right.
sharks. Most sharks are you get points for them and you're encouraged to release them.
Sure. Gotcha. Very good. All right. We got to take another break there, Carrie, and we'll come right back and talk more with Carrie Kennedy, the Coastal Fisheries Program Manager for Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. It's time for me to tell y'all about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located in Lansdowne, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway Exit 9. And they've been there since 1957, which is a long time. And they've been a great sponsor of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. But what we want to tell you is, if you are looking to go fishing for anything in the Chesapeake Bay region, anything in freshwater, Clyde's Sports Shop not only has the bait and the tackle for anything from, you know, crappies and panfish all the way up to striped bass, but they have the expertise to help you use it. The rods, the reels, the line selection. They can put new fishing line on your reels. They can repair your reels. And we also need to mention that they have a complete line of firearms, and that's for home protection and for hunting as well, and the shooting sports. They specialize in Browning. They're a full-line Browning dealer. So if you're looking for a Browning firearm, well, Clyde Sports Shop is the place to go. We highly recommend them, and we ask that you would give that fishing hotline a call. That fishing hotline is 247-3474. That's 247-FISH, and you can call that 24 hours a day. The regular line to call Clyde's to get information is 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. Check out their stock of Browning firearms, or check out their website, www.clydesports2s.com, two S's in the middle, clydesports.com. And we appreciate them being here, and we know that you'll enjoy your visit. Nice folks, too. Very good. Clyde Sports Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway
exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Line X is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Line X spray-on bed liner.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Rising home prices have fueled the return of a practice that some blame for inflating the bubble, house flipping. In California, the number of homes sold in recent months that had been flipped or bought and resold within 6 months has reached the highest level since late 2005. About 6,000 homes have been flipped in the state this year through April, or more than 5% of all homes sold statewide. Between 2003 and 2006, investors helped to inflate the bubble by buying multiple houses and condos and then quickly reselling them at a higher price. When prices began to fall, investors unloaded properties at big discounts or walked away from them, accelerating the downturn. The industry is split over whether the current flipping activity could lead to potential problems. Today's flippers are stronger financially. Flipping homes requires lots of cash because banks aren't making loans to investors who don't have large down payments. Many investors are also buying and fixing up neglected homes, including foreclosures. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
What if someone invented a way to find the perfect brand new car that didn't involve driving from new car dealership to new car dealership? Well, AutoTrader.com did. By searching our immense inventory of actual new cars for sale, you can see which dealers have the exact 2013 sedan you want. Plus, see who has the best price and compare offers in your area like cashback or low APR, so you can find which dealership has your perfect car and the best deal before ever leaving the house. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Talk Radio. 680 WCBM.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with its teeth, baby, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, baby, so there's never, never a trace of red.
Now, oh, we did that just for you, Carrie. Hello, Carrie. Oh, hello, Carrie.
Hello.
We did that just for you, Mac the Knife, just for you. So, I hope you heard it. So anyway. All right. Well, look, we talked about flounder. We talked about sharks. But there are so many species of fish off Ocean City. And you guys, you know, I can't imagine how you keep them all straight. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other fishing opportunities that we have in Ocean City. A lot of people like to come down and go out on the wreck boats and tautog and black sea bass. Tell us a little bit about some of the wreck species, if you would.
Sure. Tautog and black sea bass are two species that have been under changing management in the last couple of years. And I'm not going to go into all the fine details of black sea bass.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's another one of those species that is managed in an alphabet soup of, you know, three different jurisdictions. And it has been very complex in the last couple of years. But the gist is that coast-wide, we have been going over our recreational targets. And most of that overage is happening up in the northern states where people, you know, those rocky states where people can just, you know, be inshore fishing and catch lots of black sea bass.
Right.
And those black sea bass are not really migrating anywhere near Maryland. They're really just staying, you know, local to those northern states. So but black sea bass are managed coast-wide. So there's a little bit of a mismatch between their life history and how they're managed. But we have coast-wide been having to take reductions. And Maryland has worked really hard the last few years to try and minimize what those impacts are to our Maryland anglers and our Maryland headboat captains, for sure.
Right. So what you're basically saying is that the black sea bass, where it spawned, it grows up and dies there. It doesn't go anywhere. But because it is a coastal species, because we have the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission and their management plans, that everybody gets lumped together, thrown in together, and they put a number on it and they say, you get X and you get Y. And Maryland says, wait a minute. Am I dumbing it down pretty well?
Yes. The only thing that's missing is that because it's managed on that coast-wide number, it's really through the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries the Management Council that says coast-wide, this is what we have to do.
Okay.
And Atlantic States, we do our best. Maryland does our best to say, wait.
Right.
We should have no impacts down here.
Exactly. Okay, cool.
So the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission gives us the flexibility to at least make an argument that, in fact, we should not have to be doing much. Most of the burden should be where most of the fishing is happening.
Gotcha.
So what that means really is that a couple years ago, the season really constricted for black sea bass.
Yes, it did.
And so the opening date for black sea bass is May 20th. It goes through October 14th, it closes for 2 weeks, and then it opens again November 1st, and it's open through the end of the year.
Okay.
It's still 12 and a half inches, so the size hasn't changed.
Right.
This year...
Well, you know what? It's 12 and a half inch sea bass is a pretty nice sea bass. Not bad. I mean, at least it's edible. But I've seen them caught on headboats, you know, 9, 10 inches, and guys are just bailing them. And it just, I look at them and I go... You came all the way out here to catch bluegills, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me. That's my my look at
things. One of the complex things about black sea bass is that when they reach a certain level of maturity, and depending on the immediate local population, they'll change from being male to being female.
No, they don't.
They do.
Yeah, I knew that.
Hermaphroditic. It's a two-word phrase to describe that process.
Yeah.
But that is why it's so complex, and so little is known about that process.
Okay.
That that's another level that makes it difficult to manage and know exactly what the right thing is to do in terms of minimum sizes. And, you know, all sorts of management decisions are based on fisheries having life histories where they're born or they're spawned as males and then they stay males or females.
Right.
But these guys switch depending on, you know, what's happening. There'll be a little harem. And it makes it much more complex.
Dang black sea bass. Sounds like more layers of the onion to peel back, that's for sure.
That's absolutely right. But this year, one of the things that changed was the creel went from 25 fish to 20. Now, I don't know many people are going out there and catching 25 black sea bass.
We caught, and I want to just throw bluefish in there for a minute, but we caught... When the bluefish were here in the bay one day, two of us caught 26 bluefish and kept them. Well, we caught more than that, but we kept 26 between, I don't know, 6 and 10 pounds. Spent 2 hours filleting them, drove home. We had more bluefish at the end of that season. We were all sick of eating bluefish, but as much as we like them. But, you know, just because you can catch them doesn't mean you need to catch them. But that's...
Absolutely true.
Yeah, some people stock up on a once a year trip, so I understand that. Let's talk about tautog a little bit.
Yeah, tautog is another one that has has been a little difficult lately. Last year, again, because of reductions that had to be taken coast-wide,
right,
but this time through the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, we had to, in the end, it ended up that we increased our minimum size by 2 inches from 14 to 16 inches.
Okay.
At the time, we understood we were having to take a 49% reduction in our fishery.
Okay.
That's pretty significant.
That is significant. And is that because the tautog is in trouble or they're just overfished? As a result maybe of overfishing.
Right. So overfishing, the technical terms of overfishing and being overfished, both is happening with tautog right now.
Okay. All right.
That's based on, you know, again, some mathematical calculations that, you know, some fish we have better information about than others, and tautog is one of the ones that we don't have as great information as we'd like when we're trying to figure out how many tautog are out there. So we don't have the best information, and we have to just go with what we do have. And what that said was everybody needed to take a pretty significant reduction in the harvest, 49% reduction.
That's a lot of tautog.
They found a mistake in those calculations, and it ended up being that we only had to take a 32% reduction.
Hmm.
And so instead of going back and having to revisit the size limit, we made adjustments to the season because we not only did we reduce the minimum or we increase the minimum size, but we had also had to reduce the season.
Right. So what are we right now? What as far as tautog?
We're 16 inches.
Yep.
And then you know tautog does a funny thing where it's January through November 26th. January 1st through May 15th, it's 4 fish per person, and then also November 1st through November 26th, it's 4 fish per person.
And what is it the rest of the year?
But May 16th through October 31st, you only get to keep 2 fish per person. it's a strange little,
yeah, it is.
Strange little change in the regulations, but... That's
well, that's because of the season. That's because of the pressure. That's because of the people out there fishing for them. Personally, I'd rather go out offshore early on. I'd like to go out there, you know, in the springtime. That's when it's more fun. And you know, summertime's good, but a little cold weather never hurt anybody. So.
Yeah, and our fishermen absolutely say that, you know, it's better to catch tautog in the cooler temperatures.
Yeah.
They have much more success during the cooler temperatures than in the summer.
All right, good. Okay, so we've done Black Sea Bass and Tautog on the wrecks, the two most popular species. We've done Flounder, the most popular inshore species. We've talked about sharks. We haven't talked about the big game species, the bluefin tuna and the marlin. So why don't we do that for a couple minutes when we come back from our last break?
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
All right. Let's talk about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Fishing challenge underway. Join those 1,000 other anglers who've caught citation-sized fish since last Labor Day, and you could win a great prize. That's right. You can win a great prize like the boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shops or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network. I think it's... is it Bahamas this year? Bimini? I can't remember. I'll have to look that up. And then Under Armour as well. So, all you got to do is go fishing. You catch a citation fish. There are more than 60 species of fish offshore, like we're talking about today, Ocean City, inshore, the Chesapeake Bay, the tidal rivers, and in freshwater, too, that qualify for the fishing challenge. And even the blue crab at 9 inches will qualify to get you in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. So stop by your local fishing citation center, visit the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov. And don't forget, Diamond Jim is out there in the Chesapeake Bay right now. He's tagged. You catch a rockfish with a little spaghetti green tag hanging out its belly, just call that number on the tag. Don't take the tag out of the fish. You might have just won $10,000. And at the very least, it's an imposter worth $500 if he was tagged this year. So, again, that's check your rule book, visit your local citation center, or visit the website www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the information. Are you feeling lucky?
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, don't forget about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Why not give that fishing hotline a call? 247-FISH, that's 247-3474 for all the latest on the fishing updates all around the region. And Clyde Sports Shop does have, when Bill recommends the best bait on the fishing report, they've got the bait. I don't care if it's live bait, frozen bait, offshore, inshore, minnows, they've got it. Just, they'll use, you know, you. Right there, Clyde Sports Shop. They have a full line of firearms, too, for home protection and for hunting. All the ammunition, well, most of the ammunition. And, you know, they do scope mounting and gunsmithing. Their services include reel repair, and they do, they'll put a tip on your rod if you break it off. They'll put new line on your spool if you need it. They can do all that stuff. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108, or visit the website clydesports.com.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
And folks, we're back. Just want to remind you that you can listen to the podcast of the Outdoors and Radio Show on WCBM.com anytime, or you can go back on my website, ellisoutdoors.com, and hit the podcast button. Now, when you open that homepage, you'll see a little icon there with a little fish on it that says the Outdoors and Radio Show. You also see a link to the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and also another link to Maryland Loves Crabs. We also invite you to enjoy us on to like us on Facebook. The more you like us, the more we can do with that Facebook page. So we appreciate everybody that signed up so far. And Laura, our social media coordinator, will take care of that for you. But, hey, just one more word of information. We're going to press on Monday for the new edition, the 2013 edition of Maryland Loves Crabs. And whew, what an issue, I'll tell you. We've been working on it for months, and just it's all coming together. It's double the size of last year's. It'll be available at your local crab you know, vendor here or tackle shop or wherever, and we'll give you more information on that when we get it out there, and then it'll also be available online. Lots of good stuff, new stuff, lots of information, lots of events, and we'll be good to go. So join us on Facebook or meet, like us on Facebook and hit the website for the podcast if you would. Podcasts, by the way, are sponsored by the Maryland Fisheries Service, and you'll see the links when you go to the podcast page. Joining us from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service is the Coastal Fisheries Program Manager, Carrie Kennedy, for the last few minutes of the show. And Carrie, the big guns, the marlin, white marlin capital of the world, and then, of course, we've got all the tuna species out there as well. Tell us a little bit about some of the offshore stuff in 2 minutes.
All right, I'll do my best.
Everything you know.
Okay, well, the first most important thing for people to understand is that if you're fishing for tuna, marlin, sailfish, billfish, even if you're offshore fishing for sharks, you're going to need a National Marine Fisheries Service highly migratory species permit.
Right.
And there's several different kinds of permits. You can be in an angling category or a charter headboat category or there's even an Atlantic tuna's general category. So you'll have to work with NIMS to figure out what the best permit is for you, but you'll definitely need one of those permits.
National Marine Fisheries Service. You said
National
NIMS.
National Marine Fisheries Service.
Yeah, you said NIMS. So.
Another piece of information is that there's two species that were previously just known as one, and that's white marlin. Now there's a second species, which is called round-scale spearfish, and they look very, very similar. So if you're going to go out there and you're going to be fishing for marlin, I absolutely encourage folks to learn the difference between round-scale spearfish and white marlin. And you can go on the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service website or National Marine Fisheries Service website, and there's information about how to identify the difference between white marlin and round-scale spearfish because they look really close.
Let me guess. The spearfish has a little bit shorter bill.
Actually, it really has to do with the difference between their fin length between the top fin and the bottom fin, and then the difference between the distance between the bottom fin, where the bottom fin starts, and the opening, opening.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not so easy.
So some guy gets all excited. He finally catches a marlin. He goes, "Man, I got a nice marlin!" And the captain looks at him and goes, "Oh, sorry, that's a round scale spearfish, buddy. Sorry to disappoint you."
They look almost. I mean, if you don't know, you absolutely will think you have a round white marlin. And
really,
and they were previously. You know, it's only recently that genetic information indicated that they were indeed two distinct species, and not it wasn't just a subspecies.
So now, what are we going to call Ocean City?
Marlin round scale capital. The good news is that both of those species have the same minimum size, which is 66 inches.
Very good. Go ahead.
And then tuna, you know, there's several different categories of tuna. There's based on their size. There's 27 to 47 inches is a school. There's 47 to 73 inches, which is a large school.
Right.
And then it gets bigger from there.
You know what? You're going to have to come back, Carrie.
Okay.
Yep, you're going to have to come back. There's the music. Did that go fast or what?
It did.
Yeah, it did. Exactly right. Well, look, having only ever caught one bluefin tuna in my life, it's a fight of a lifetime, I can tell you that. And Ocean City offers a wide variety of opportunities, as we've discussed right now. And folks,